It's time for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with your host, Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.
Welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective, our last show of 2012, and maybe we've saved our best for the last. So I'm your host, Doug Gefeller. Our topic for today is Lights, Camera, Communication with Robin McNatt of Style Laughter. But we'll get to Robin in just a moment. If you're listening to the show live, hey, you know where you're at. You're on octalkradio.net. Perhaps you're on iTunes. But if you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com, or our gefeller.podbeam site, or iTunes. Be sure to check out our archives at any of these locations for past shows featuring some of the top people in the coaching, HR, and Orange County business community. Well, today's program, Lights, Camera, Communication. You know, this is our last show of the year. Our guest today is Robin McNatt of Style Laughter. She's going to tell us how laughter can improve communications and build better communities. Robin's a modern-day writer, speaker, actor, director, and organizational development leader. She's the founder of Style Laughter and has trained with both the founder of the L.A. Groundlings, Gary Austin, and with Sherry Kerr, founder of the O.C. Crazies. She has often described herself as an anal retentive, spontaneous person. Boy, we are in for a ride today. This girl has more energy than I've ever seen. Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Doug. It's a pleasure to be here.
I have no clue what's going to happen here today. I mean, here we are talking about improv, and we'll just have to hang on and go with the ride, huh?
That's the way I prefer it. Life okay. Unscripted, completely unplanned.
Well, not totally unplanned. I hear our producer, Paul, laughing in the background there, probably still has his mic open, waiting to jump in. But
I have never known Doug Gefeller to be unplanned and unscripted here. This is an uncomfortable. I'm watching him nervously move his twitch his hands here. He doesn't like this improvisational nature. I can see already.
Don't worry. No, that's why I threw in the anal retentive part.
Okay, take good care of him here. I don't want to lose this guy today here.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Robin, let's start out. Tell the audience about your path to your current business model. What did you do before you became famous here?
Before I became famous, well, I was highly conventional and had the opportunity to move to Orange County to work for Perrier Water, which is a subsidiary of Nestle. And I headed up all of their employee development for their Western region and made sure that that water got out there on time to customers. And expanded my role to include both human resources and organizational development. I have a heavy HR and OD background, both within consumer packaged goods. In addition, I worked at the business school at UC Irvine, heading up business development for executive education.
You know, I don't mean to sound derogatory, but why is it I'm having difficulty picturing you in a conventional position?
And that is exactly what I was just talking with one of my colleagues, who is now an SVP of human resources at a consumer products company. He's thinking about having me train his team in improv, and he said, how did you get involved with improv? You're the most, unlike you, Doug, who views me as being completely unconventional and non-serious. Back in the day, when I was in the corporate world 24/7, I was extremely serious, results-driven, hardcore, and yet my humor and my dry sense of humor really seemed to help build relationships at work.
You know, I'll bet they did. And you know what? Let me correct you. I wouldn't say I view you as not being serious, but you are serious about having a good time and communicating with people.
Exactly. And what I tell people, Doug, as we know, in the world of assessments with communication styles, I waver in between the influencing and the results. So I tell people, if things go the way they should, you get the winning others over side of my personality. If we do the tipping point to the more stressed out side of things, you'll see Margaret Thatcher in action because at the end of the day, my natural style is Margaret Thatcher. Who knew?
You know, anybody who knows you is going to just die laughing at the correlation of seeing Margaret Thatcher as you. You are so cute.
No, my mom would say, she's very lovely, Doug, to her defense.
Robin, tell us about your business. What is Style Laughter, and how come you can't make it two words? You have to make it one.
Yeah, you'll get corrected on that.
Yeah.
It is officially one word, so thank you, Doug, for merging the style and laughter. And to answer your question about the path to Style Laughter, I am a certified Franklin Covey facilitator. And through the renewal certification process, I took a 7 Habits of Highly Effective People facilitator webinar. And as you know, the Franklin Covey organization is all about alignment of mission and purpose and optimizing results. So I had 30 seconds to consider and write down the highest contribution I could make in my lifetime. And I wrote down in a piece of paper, building better communities through laughter. So that was it. I figured,
you know,
from here on out,
That's disgusting. The rest of us take forever to figure out our tagline, and you come up with it in 30 seconds?
30 seconds.
Oh.
You know, that's the overachiever in me, Doug.
Okay.
So I wrote it down, and then I consulted. I went to South Coast Repertory and spoke with their managing director about my idea. I talked with faculty at UC Irvine, and I was told with the name Style After by one of my esteemed mentors. I hate that idea. I hate that name. You don't style laughter? That's ridiculous. So I said, you know what? Hear me out. I said, unless you can think of a better name, that's the name that's sticking, because it was actually a parent at my daughter's school who sat down and asked me about what I plan to do with Style After. And I said, you know what? I'm the booking agent. I produce shows for nonprofits. I organize the talent. I said, I'm kind of the stylist of the laughter. And she said, you have to stick with Style After. And to make a funny story short, I was also inspired by the Bravo TV show, The Rachel Zoe Project. And I know most people have either no opinion or not a good opinion about that show just because it's about fashion. And her work ethic and styling her clients really inspired me to do good work with nonprofit organizations. And I ran into her in Soho when I was in New York on a business engagement last May, and I told her. I said, I have Style After because of your show. And I think she was surprised. That wasn't the typical answer she got. But she liked it. She definitely liked the name.
Wonderful. Okay, so we've got the name down. Now tell us a little bit about what Style Laughter does.
So what Style Laughter does is we perform improvised comedy, and we do that for nonprofits, either in Orange County. So we have performed for the Pacific Marine Mammal Center in partnership with the VEDA. We've also performed for WebWise Kids to promote internet safety. We also support large-scale global natural disasters such as Superstorm Sandy and the Japan tsunami relief. So we show up, we organize the event, we have a donations basket, we have a recommended donation, and we tally all the funds, and we give that money directly to the nonprofit.
Okay, so, and this is what you do for a living?
This is what I do when I'm not working for a living. So Style After, the nonprofit improv organization, 2 years later has trickled into my living, which is the corporate improvisation training.
Okay, tell me about that.
So I thought, Doug, that before I reached out to organizations and trained their leaders, that it would be really great to have the credibility of performing in these shows. So we've done over 10 shows. We've raised over $10,000. That aspect of the model is working. Now, I have to tell you how I originally got involved with improvisation is through corporate training, where I was heading up human resources and organizational development. I brought the top 25 leaders on stage as part of our strategic planning process.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And how did that go?
Yeah, well, let me tell you that I didn't tell them what we were doing. I just said, we happen to be meeting at a theater, but don't worry about that. We're just using the venue. Until right after lunch on the second day, I said, surprise, you want to reach alignment and work better with your peers? Now's the opportunity to get on stage and do some improv. And they went from eye-rolling, giving me the look of death, to not wanting to get off stage. I had to pull them off stage 4 hours later. They were dressed in costume, singing. So that's what sparked the corporate side of Style After. I have since left that organization in 2010 and formed Style After for both the nonprofit and the corporate.
How would you describe your objective or the benefit that you provide in an organizational setting?
People are cynical about that's understated. People are slightly not on board with the concept of improvisation at work. And typically I just say, let's do an exercise. So whomever I'm meeting with, I take them through an improv exercise, and then I leave a debrief about what worked about it, and here's what they've experienced, and here's the utility in the workplace. The fact that, first of all, you have to listen without prejudgment. You have to be in the moment. In improv, your idea connects to the last idea said, and so often in meetings, people are preoccupied. They're not thinking about what the topic and the focus of the meeting is. They're worried about their grocery list. Did they walk their dog? So by incorporating the method of improvisation at work, you learn to listen. You learn to trust other people in the group. If you want to go from individuals to a highly productive and a high-performance team, use the method of improvisation. Also, innovation. So lacking at work. Improvisation enables you to get to those creative ideas that are buried. Get to those buried ideas. Bring them in. The quiet person who's not participating will participate using improvisation because everybody matters. Everybody plays an equal role in contributing to the team outcome. So, yes, innovation, collaboration, listening, being in the moment. Then focus. So when you think about it, Doug, who wouldn't want to incorporate improvisation at work?
If I can just say a few words, I'm not sure I'd understand what you were saying, but you did this at the ASTD lunch a few weeks ago, and I was there, and I saw the audience freeze up when you said, okay, we're going to do some improvisation. I need some people up front. You know, and everybody sort of shrunk in their chair, hoping they wouldn't get picked. And after you went through the first exercise, then the people were practically arguing over who got to go next because you made it so much fun. But the thing that struck me, Robin, that you're talking about is that, you know, in coaching and going through my own coaching training, we talk about the importance of listening. And we use, or most of the coaching schools use, the term active listening. And you know, I kind of get what that means, but having observed your improvisation skit and watching you dissect it afterwards, it really hit home for me how we don't listen. We're so busy preparing for what we're going to say, we aren't listening to what people said. And You know, it is a lesson that is intellectually easily understood, but until you go through your improv, I don't think we really get it.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, Doug, and that was a key takeaway from the ASGD session. I had the same question arise. I also do some women's leadership training as well. So I am training Fortune 500 manager, director, and vice president level women. And at our last session, we had on our white page, you know, the post-it pages that you post in a room of outstanding questions and issues, the topic came up, how do we listen better? How can we truly stay engaged in the moment? So I did just that, Doug, where I said, okay, this one we're not talking through. I need 6 volunteers. So I placed them in duos, 3 sets of duos, and we did an improv exercise around last sentence said. And the premise is you have 3 non-related skits going on or scenes going on, and when I say freeze, whatever that last sentence said is the first sentence for the next group. So you have to listen because you start your scene that way. And what happens is, even though you have 3 very separate scenes, by the end of the skit, the scenes really tie together.
Oh, wow.
It just ends up working, and it's phenomenal. So it's experiential, Doug. So rather than, you know, just talking about it, you're taking action to train your brain to listen.
Well, and you know, and that is so critical, because whether we're talking about coaching or we're talking about managing people, I don't, in business, even at home, probably even more important at home. Hopefully my wife is not listening to this show. She'll have me enrolled in improv, because there's a question about my listening skills, especially when I'm home. But
Doug,
listening
is
so critical.
At the dinner table. For those of you out there whose children don't speak to you, and I do have a teenager. I have an 8-year-old and a teenager. We do improvisation every night at the table.
Last sentence?
We do more than that. That's one of the games. And in fact, I've just started to train at the elementary school level the principles of improvisation. And in my last show, I featured 3 third graders from my daughter's school, and children, as you know, don't need as much help with improvisation. They tend to be more creative and looser. They have no restrictions as to what they'll do in public. Unlike us, we're adults. We tend to be a little bit more refined. They were such a big hit, and I trained them in an hour. So as you know, Doug, I made the promise at ASTD that anybody who spends some time with Style Laughter will be able to perform in an improv show same day.
Yeah, I heard that. I didn't know if I believed it when you made the comment, but after seeing the exercises, I don't think you're exaggerating your abilities whatsoever.
And just to, once again, I want to focus more on the business side of improvisation, how I came up with lights, camera, communication, which is the training module I developed for the workplace. So it's the method of improvisation that we use in Style After shows adapted to the workplace. And the reason why I came up with lights, camera, communication is because every leader play such an active role in coaching and directing their work teams that so often we wait how long to provide good feedback and to get things right. Do we do it at all? Do we wait a year? And the concept of lights, camera, communication is follow the rules, build the collaboration, get the creative flow, and if something isn't working, call cut and redo it.
I love it.
You have that power as a director and a manager to make immediate positive changes to your team.
You know, that is, you know, I just got this image. I love the words you use. When you say call cut, I mean, we've all seen movies where they're talking about how to do a movie and the producer calls cut and they redo the scene. And yet in business, it's sort of like we're taught to not call cut. We're supposed to make a note and then at the 6-month review or whatever, but we'd never call cut right in the middle of the scene and say, let's do it again. And yet that's really the best time to learn, isn't it?
It is. Call cut and use the rules. One rule we use in improvisation that preempts any other rule is no denial. If we were doing a scene and you said the sky is raining cats and I said no, it isn't, where do you go from there? You've killed the, you know, I've killed the scene because I'm not justifying why your idea is correct. We do that all the time at the workplace, especially in team meetings where somebody has an idea. No, we can't do that. That's not right. That's not what the customer wants. And instead of denying the idea, improv teaches you to build upon that idea and see how can you justify that original idea and extend it to get to something that could be true and useful for your business.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but hey, this is improv. Can you give me an example of that?
Of course I can give you an example of that. An example of that would be, for example, I had an incredible opportunity before I founded Style After to work for a entrepreneurial, two brothers and a friend, so a trio based in Southern California. And a lot of time was spent, and this is improv, like they actually invented an industry called foodistics, which is the logistics of food delivery. And rather than say we don't know enough information, they were trying to analyze a particular customer base, I just said the customer is Jane. 80% what we know is true is 80% of people who call in are female. Let's call her Jane. What else do we know about Jane? So because I cast the customer in a particular name, instead of getting the no, it isn't, we had the collaborative flow of let's try to analyze Jane a little bit more. So that would be a perfect example.
I like it.
I knew the CFO would want to tell me why that wasn't Jane, but because we all went through improv training and we knew the rule of no denial, calling the customer Jane was useful and helped to build new insights.
So I like it. I picked up two things. One, no denial. I love that. I can use that in business all day long. Call cut. That would be wonderful. I'd have to work to be able to really use that one. The other one is somehow I want to take the last sentence and use it in my next sentence. I'm not getting that right, but.
Last thing said.
Last thing said.
No denial. Of course you are. There's another rule. We say whatever it means to you. So to you, Doug, as the actor, we all interpret things differently. So whatever it means to you, it's up to me as your scene partner to justify why that's right.
Well, I think that's so powerful to use the person's last sentence. It sort of reinforces that I was listening, and it sort of takes away, along with the no denial, that I'd be arguing and going on to something else. I mean, this is great stuff.
And it's so easy and quick to apply.
There, I don't know. I mean, I understand it, but you're talking about breaking, I'm not going to tell you how many years of habits.
Well, you're taking some time off before 2013. I'll check back in with you. I encourage you, set a goal. How many times can you start a sentence with the last thing said? I challenge you to see how your conversation is different.
Okay, and I don't want to be the only person that benefits from this, so we're going to challenge everybody in the audience.
Do it. The person will look at you like you're crazy, and yet they'll be delighted that you've actually listened to their idea.
I love it. Hey, Robin, before I forget, because you're sidetracking me into such a wonderful conversation here, and I love it. One of the questions we ask all of our guests on the show is what experience sort of set or what key lesson have you learned as a result of your business experience that sort of become your guiding principle in your business or maybe even your life? What would you say to that? What is it?
And this pause is strategic, Doug. Don't think I'm not here, because I am here, and I'm excited to share the guiding principle. A guiding principle for me in, with Style Laughter, there are numerous, and yet one really comes to the forefront, which is commitment first, content second. And what that means is if you truly commit to the mission, which is building better communities through laughter, the rest will fall into place. And a key aha moment I had when I first started Style Laughter was that I was trying to be the intermediary between the nonprofit and the talent. And guess what? What a scheduling nightmare. I mean, trying to coordinate schedules plus differences where other improv directors would have their vision for the show, it just got complicated. So my guiding principle is the style actually stands for something and Style Laughter. And if people aren't on board with that, they cannot do it with Style Laughter. So the number one thing that I look for, and the S stands for supportive. There are no egos that are out of whack in my troupe. It's about the greater cause. It's not about us. So that was a key insight to make sure that I'm aligned with the right talent who care just as much about the causes and the corporate development that we're helping as I do. So that's the S. Would you like to hear about the rest, the T, the Y, the L, and the E?
Absolutely. I'm waiting.
Okay. So that would be the yes and. Tell me more about that. And the T stands for the tell. So remember at work, now you're the director, you can call cut. The T stands for tell. Tell the story, develop the story with specific information. The Y is your authentic style. No two troop members are alike. And so often at work, we want everybody to converge. If you could only be a little bit more like this, you'd be a great member of the team. I want everybody to perform and show up in a way that's authentic. So that's the why. I want people to bring what they have and then work as a team to get better. So we have all, I have introverts, I have mad scientists, I have people who do stand-up and are extremely funny. They have different characters, and that's what they bring to the table. So the Y is your authentic style. The L is lots of risks. Take risks. Don't be afraid of failure. You have to fail. When you fail, you learn, and you do things so much better. So take the fear of failure out of the equation. And E is the everything counts, no denial. So my guiding principle is I need to work with people who support that model because it works.
Boy, that is a phenomenal answer to that question. Thank you very much for sharing that. And I've, as you were talking, the reason I wasn't interrupting, which I'm sorry, I have a habit of doing that, but I was because I was taking notes on your style and what it means, because I just think that has such great application. I am going to borrow that and use it.
Please do. I would be quite honored, Doug, for you to borrow it and use it. And I also hope that some of the listeners use it at work. It's such a powerful combination. Letting people leverage their authentic style where there's no denial and everybody's collaborative, that's a winning formula.
And you know, the other thing I have to say, I went to your, I'm trying to remember now, I don't think it was your website, I think it was, is it LinkedIn that Style Laughter has their page on?
We have a couple of different pages. We do have the website, which is www.stylelaughter.com. I promote it through LinkedIn, and we do have a Facebook page.
I think maybe it was the website that had the pictures of your troupe.
Yep.
Okay, that was it. And the thing that hit me was, you know, at first when I read it, I said, troop? What do you mean, troop? We're talking about business here. And then the more I thought about it, I thought, what an inclusive term. You know, my department is so stifling. You know, my team even is so overused. But troop just had a wonderful sound to it. If I have a troop in business that we're together trying to do something, I just think you bring so much, even in your language, to the business table.
It's okay to be creative at work. Thank you for that recognition. And it's all about removing the barriers to being innovative and creative.
Well, look, is there you've given me lots of examples, but is there one or two things that you think if we're talking to a business leader and he's thinking of doing improv in his company, why would he, what is the reasons he's going to justify bringing improv in? What does he hope to accomplish with improv?
First, you would say, do it on a day when I'm not at work, because everybody else needs it, not me. Here's the deal. We haven't even talked about the building trust aspect of improv. We've talked more about the listening skills and the idea generation. If people, and I said this at ASTD during the monthly learning session, if you have, is it okay to use the word dysfunctional? That's what popped into my head. If you have lack of cohesiveness between team members or lack of alignment across the organization, bring in improv training. You're either going up on a high wire together to build trust, or you're performing on stage as a troupe. It is such an immediate, positive way to fix poor team dynamics.
Robin, is there a situation, a kind of company, where you don't think improv would work? I mean, does it work across cultural lines? Does it work across demographic mixes?
I'm glad you're raising this question, Doug. Improv training really is a good solution for those workplaces who have four generations working together side by side, not understanding why they're inadvertently annoying each other. It's that common language, the common rules that make them successful. I would also say it's appropriate for multicultural dynamics as well. As long as the only thing I would want to make sure is that you would do some research to make sure, if you're doing it outside of the U.S., that some of the gestures that we might do or some of our mannerisms aren't translated negatively across other areas. So with a little bit of research, you could have sensitivity to, 'cause we have our, no, you can't do that or you'll get brown bagged, which is, if you're offensive on stage, we'll put a brown bag over your head and take it off stage. So you just want to make sure that it translates in the most productive and positive outcome possible. But now there's not one group, community, workplace that could not benefit from improvisation.
Okay, so if I'm listening and I've got a nonprofit I'm involved in, improvisation is a way to have a good time and to maybe earn some funds. If I've got a business, whether it's nonprofit or not business oriented, it is a way to train and build a team and get cohesiveness and bring people together. All of those work.
And most importantly, have fun. We have so much fun. We
you
entertain.
No, I don't doubt that.
Yeah, no, we have a lot of fun. We go from the fear of failure. When somebody asked me, why would you get into improv? And I said, who wouldn't want to look like an idiot on stage? You know, that's my dream. But you just, when you have a lot of shows under your belt, you feel more comfortable making bolder choices. And that's what it's about, just being unrestricted, having fun. And in checking in with corporate America, I know that there's a big opportunity in 2013 to bring the joy back to work and to have fun and to feel revitalized, because there's still a lot of important work to do.
Okay, so, you know, this is a great time of year. Everybody's feeling in a very giving kind of mood. So I'm going to ask this question. What would you've taken time to share this with me and with our audience, but what would you like for 2013 that somebody out there listening is going to go, you know what, that would work perfect with what I'm looking for too. What would you like?
My passion, most importantly, is for the community. Style After was so honored to be included in National Philanthropy Day, which was in November at the Garden Grove Hilton. There are so many great causes in Orange County to raise money. So my wish for 2013 is partner with us. Tell us which nonprofit you want us to perform for, and I will make it happen.
And how about on the corporate side?
On the corporate side, I would love, I'm actually, here's what's great, Doug, is that 100% of my work is through referrals, and all of my referrals have renewed their contracts for next year. So I would love to know if anybody out there in the field of training and development wants to become a certified Style Laughter facilitator to help me accomplish all this work. So my goal is to build the talent pipeline so I don't have to do it alone. I have great troop members. They're not always available to do the corporate work, so I'm looking for like-minded, fearless facilitators who want to have fun. And I'd love for the corporate community to embrace the method of improvisation and contact me and see what we can do for their workplace.
All right, everybody that's listening, you heard it. Now we know what she's looking for. You know what she can do, and, you know, this is the dating game here. We're just trying to match up people. That's all we do.
Well, and like I said, Robin, if you block it the most, you probably need it the most.
Yep. Robin, I keep interrupting you. Is there, before we wrap up here, is there anything else about you or your firm that we haven't talked about or that I talked over on you that you'd like to share with the audience?
We've covered so much. I took some notes, which usually I abandon because I tend to be more extemporaneous when I throw the notes away. We've captured it all. I think people have a better understanding of what improvisation is. I just would like to wish everybody a joyous and wonderful new year and holiday season, and reiterate how, and this is just my own personal belief, that if we do more to instill the concept of community through positive activities such as improvisation, that hopefully our communities will get stronger.
Wonderful. And once again, tell our audience how they can get in touch with you.
You can go to Starbucks tomorrow. No. I need my caffeine. No. www.stylelaughter.com, robin@stylelaughter.com. And I am very involved within our organizational development community. I co-lead our ASTD and National Human Resources Association Special Interest Group in Organizational Development.
And you do a wonderful job at that. That's how I first came to know you. And unfortunately, I only saw your very business conservative side there. And then I met a whole different person at ASTD when you talked about Style Laughter.
Right, and it's so much fun. And I was reflecting on just some of the feedback I've gotten over the past few years since I started doing improv, and I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but I'll take it anyway. I've been compared to Sarah Silverman, Mary Louise Parker, and Lisa Kudrow. So I told my husband they probably thought they were insulting me, but I actually admire all of those people. So I'll take it as a compliment.
If I said it, I would mean it as a compliment. But you know what? The best compliment is I really appreciate you for who you are, for being so authentic and sharing with us without any fear. So thank you very much for what you do in the community. Thank you for being here on our show today, and thank you for joining the Coaching Perspective radio show business community.
Thank you so much, Doug. It was an absolute pleasure.
Thanks. Have a wonderful evening and a great holiday.
You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Well, we've been listening to Robin McNatt. If you just tuned in, what the heck is wrong with your clock? You should have been here at 4 o'clock. Anyhow, if you just tuned in, you can catch the show next week. We'll have it posted on our website on gefeller.podbeam, and you can look for it under iTunes podcast. Just put in the Coaching Perspective. Well, you know, let me give you the commercial plug since this is the last one of the year. We've been coaching executives and business owners for, I'm going to have to change it from 18 to now 19 years, all under the banner of the Coaching Perspective. Our primary focus is helping to create more effective teams. We work with both existing and new management and project teams. And in all cases, our goal is to increase not only the productivity of the team, but the individual member. You know, we also do individual coaching from the top executive to the newest entry-level position. We do corporate training for a variety of business skills and, of course, communication workshops. Well, look, if you're looking at your calendar for next year, January 10th, that evening is the first meeting of the year for the International Coaching Federation Orange County Chapter. They're meeting now at the Wyndham Hotel. You can go to the coachesoforangecounty.com website. They've been kind enough to ask me to speak that evening on how to get off to a fast start in 2013 by creating a killer business plan in just 55 minutes. So we want to be conscious of your time, and we want to really hit the target and going into 2013 prepared and ready to go. Well, look, let me also just say as a wrap-up here, I want to thank all of our past guests this last year. It has been an impressive list of people. I am just amazed at those of you who've given your time to be on the show and the wisdom that you've shared with our audience. I want to thank our producer here at octalkradio.net, Paul Roberts. You know, when we started this show 3 years ago, technical difficulties were sort of the word of the day, and I hate to jinx it, but boy, we've been going through show after show here with no problems. And Paul, thank you for what you do behind the scenes. Thank you for last week for coming out from behind the curtain and letting us see what the wizard really looks like.
Not very often, only a few times.
So be sure to tune in live. Our next show will be January 10th, 2013. I'm taking a little extended vacation here. We'll be back 4 p.m. Thursday right here on OC Talk Radio. I hope you've enjoyed the show today and that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use to identify and achieve your goals. Good evening.
You've been listening to the one show that looks at business from a different perspective, the Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.